The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Hey everyone, welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Matt Straub. It is Thursday, July 21st, and today, as we are known to do approximately once a month during these long summer months, we're going to be doing a live draft here on the show. I'm joined by Pat Doherty, Pat Corain, Kyle Dvorchik. I think we're underway here, guys. What's happening right now? You guys are all three drafting. We are underway in a live best ball draft right now.
Just took Justin Jefferson at the 1-2, and then Warren Zevon, one of my musical heroes who has been deceased for 13 years, just took Christian McCaffrey at number 3.
Yep. Cup goes 4. Where is everybody picking? Pat Doherty's picking 2nd.
The last time Corain and I picked, I think we back-to-backed again around the same spot in the draft, too. We're 9-10. Yeah, I'm 9, and Daily Rojo is 10. I think we might have had it right. Flipped, though. We were 10-9. I picked... No, actually, this might be the exact same draft we did.
This was the exact same, I believe. Ago.
By the way, Daily Rojo really forced a Rojo blurb on the site today.
It was a bad Rojo blurb. It was an anti-Rojo blurb.
It was a cope.
Rojo There's almost blurb. Nothing better than, as a big Rojo fan, blurbing a bad Rojo news item and then being told, we can't have that on this.
Travis Kelce went 5th. Jamar Chase went 6th. Austin Eckler 7th. Stephon Diggs 8th, number 9.
This I'm on you, the clock. Kyle, I know this would benefit Corain to have me take a bad pick, but Derrick Henry's falling 2 picks past ADP, 1 pick past ADP, and I don't have a lot of Henry. I think he's who I take here. My other options would be like Dalvin Cook or like, I don't know. I think we already got Stephon Diggs went before me, so I think I'm Henry.
You definitely Henry. Are because you just picked him.
Yeah.
So Kyle's taking Henry. Corain, Daily Rojo is on the clock.
Censor bad Rojo news, by the way, on the website.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So that was a delightful part of my morning. I'm taking Davante Adams. I think Najee Harris and Dalvin Cook are fine there, but I just don't want to take them.
Wow, I thought you guys must have like big complicated reasons for everything. Like the week 42 matchup is just no good.
I've got great content for this. I was taking, I got Javonte failed on me to pick 36 on a DraftKings draft. But if you have 36, obviously you have 37 as well. You're picking at the 12 spot. So I just took whoever I wanted at 36 and took Javonte in the 4th round just so I could have a team that got Javonte in the 4th round. Literally no difference between your order of picks if they are literally back to back, but it felt better by like a meaningful amount to get Javonte in the 4th round. And I'm happy with that decision, even though it makes no difference on my team's like expected value.
The longer explanation of my Davante pick is that I do prefer to come away with one wide receiver there rather than go RB on the back half of the board. And so I figured there wasn't a great chance CeeDee Lamb would come back as like kind of the only guy left. So I still got Swift.
You just got Rojo who catches passes.
Yeah, you got that was at 15. Corain took Swift. Preceded by Deebo Samuel, CeeDee Lamb, Najee Harris, and Dalvin Cook, who went 11th. And then Kyle, you took Aaron Jones, who we've seen go early and often in these best ball drafts.
Yeah, I've got a big Chad vibe from my draft going. Derrick Henry, like the ultimate alpha bro move. Though I do think like Derrick Henry, especially in underdog where it's not full PPR, like has a very realistic shot at finishing top 2 and scoring. Like he was easily on pace to do that last year. And we saw him catching more passes than last year than he had like at any point in his career. He had, I think he had like 19 catches last year, which matched his season long total from any other year. And he played half the season. I'm not saying he is reaching some sort of incredible threshold to be Christian McCaffrey, but like, if you tell me he is like a 1600 yard rusher and a 300-400 yard receiver, that is like so much different than the bet we were making 3 years ago or whatever it was.
Coming up at pick 23 and all the receivers are already gone.
Now there's two good receivers left.
Man, Saquon went. I was hoping Saquon would fall to 23. Warren Zevon, he's been dead 19 years, by the way. I really hope he doesn't snipe me at 22.
So T. Higgins, 19. Saquon Barkley, 20. Joe Mixon went 18. And now I can't see the board because someone's scrolling around.
Sorry. I am doing this draft. Like, to some extent, I'd like to not punt this off. Unless, man, we really got to be able to expense these, unfortunately. This is my own bankroll. And
it's the most expensive podcast I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
Should I just turn autopilot on, you think?
Guys, I give. Okay, I have our draft board up now for those who are.
That's even better.
All right, guys, tell me who to take. I'm on the clock. I've got 20. The only guy in my queue is Cam Akers.
Pat, I believe this would be collusion if we tell you who to take.
Yeah. This is dicey territory here.
I might time out into Cam. I don't know what his ADP is. A 44.
I mean, there are receivers on the board I would take here. I'll just say that.
Well, it's too late. I'm going to time out into Cam Akers.
You don't have to have the draft board up all the time, Kyle. I didn't really mean that.
I also have it on my phone. I actually like drafting on my phone a little better.
Okay.
Everything is broken.
Pat Doherty would not know how to draft from a phone, just for the record.
Actually did a podcast from my phone last year for one of our DK drafts. So I have drafted from the phone on the pod.
Oh, I thought you meant you did the entire podcast. Like, you were just like, hey guys, here's me on my phone.
No,
like,
I always do that. Yeah. I actually holding
you have the steady hands then.
Selfie arm. Yeah.
30 seconds, Pat.
Oh my God, it's back to me? Oh my God. Which receiver? AJ Brown? I'm gonna do AJ Brown. I want some upside.
That's who I was alluding to earlier. That's who I would have taken before I took Cam Akers, frankly.
Now I can't wait to stack him with Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins. Am I right, folks?
So Pat, this draft is called a snake draft.
Yeah, I know. I always forget about the concept of a snake draft when I'm on a podcast. I've never snaked before in my life.
Pat just makes his pick and then just kicks back. Thinks he's ready to kick back for 10 minutes.
Warren Zevon from Beyond the Grave is going Robust RB.
Okay, so we've got our starts here. We had Roto Pat, Justin Jefferson, Cam Akers. I went, who did I go? Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, and Daily Rojo went Devontae and DeAndre Swift. Whose do we like better? Because I would not be taking Cam Akers in the second round is all I'll say.
Step one of a draft, which normally doesn't come up on these streams, is don't reach so hard that the draft ends up getting invalidated.
If you don't like the start to your draft, definitely reach really hard to invalidate your own draft.
I will say these ADPs are totally. This is not going to be redraft ADPs. Cam Akers is not going to be going behind friggin' James Conner. My God, you people are sick. Just absolutely sick. Just sick. But I actually don't mind giving Cam Akers over James Conner, Alvin Kamara, Travis Etienne, Ezekiel Elliott. How are all these guys going? What is this Cam Akers derangement syndrome?
I mean,
you have 350 touches.
He also came back to be one of the least efficient running backs in the league last year.
He just popped his Achilles five months before.
Isn't Achilles also an injury that we look through history and say, like, really, players don't?
To me, it's best of both worlds is that he knows he can trust his leg this summer. He got the hard part out of the way and still won a Super Bowl somehow.
A lot of players won a Super Bowl last year.
They did. I mean, it's true. Ben Skrownick got a Lombardi now.
So,
of course, Daily Rojo, Kyle Pitts. I know we talk a lot about like strategy and stuff, but sometimes like I just want 150 of the same team.
So, Kyle, you went Cortland Sutton. Is that a guy you've been drafting a lot of? I don't seem to recall you taking him in any of our recent drafts.
Yeah, I've actually been leaning more towards Jerry Jeudy, but the idea that Jeudy could, and it's possible, I really like sort of wanted to push up against this more, the idea that Jerry Jeudy could be the third receiver just in terms of overall snaps. Like, I am sort of warming up to that idea that it is a possibility, right? And that they could run more to tight ends because they have good tight ends. So I am warming up to the idea that we could have an efficient but overall not like league breaking or league winning season from Jerry Jeudy. And that has moved me to sort of go back to splitting my exposure evenly or closer to evenly. I still like Jeudy better at his price, but I'm closer to even taking Cortland Sutton now versus Jerry Jeudy, just because Sutton, I really don't see a way that he doesn't play nearly every snap. Tim Patrick could end up being the number two in terms of snaps. Still not, I doubt that in production, but it's a risk that I've thought more about recently.
Kyle, could you now do me a favor and scroll down on your screen so that I can see rounds 4 through 6?
Yeah, I'm not in the middle of a draft right now.
You've got this, fine. Well, I understand. It's been established that you are drafting.
By the way, you guys can help me. If we get caught colluding, we just reach out to Josh Norris and Hayden Winks. They'll fix everything.
At this point, Pat, I think we may be past the point where we can salvage it.
It's cutting through the group thing. I mean, I do have Cam Akers, Justin Jefferson, and AJ Brown. I mean, I'm not that upset about it. Just
no, it's
honest.
Fine. And to be honest, I mean, Cam Akers might not have come back to you in the fourth. He sometimes does, but he often does not. So if you want Cam Akers, you got to take him.
Why is Cam Akers going behind Ezekiel Elliott? Like, is this real? Like, what exactly is going on in your guys' little Akers community?
Me too.
Yeah, me and Kyle are really driving that Zeke ADP. You know us.
Kareem, we both are actually starting pretty macho right now because you have three running backs and you only have one wide receiver, I think, right? Three running backs.
No, I have two running backs.
Or two running backs, three non-wide receivers, basically. And I started back-to-back running backs. So we're both, clearly more comfortable doing I wouldn't call these robust, but generally in years past, both would be on brand for us to be like, I've started 9 wide receivers. Maybe in the 15th, I'll think about my first running back. Whereas now I have definitely come around to the idea that like there's probably a significant amount of value to be had in like one of the three running backs that does break the league because it's pretty consistent that that happens. And I'm especially doing it like when I think the costs are good.
Guys, if I already have two receivers, can I take George Kittle? Can I go robust?
Oh, sure, you could go
Jerry Jeudy. Jeudy or Kittle? I'm taking Kittle. Screw it. I want upside.
I would be happy to get Kittle. The only reason not to have taken him there is that the one hole had Andrews, so you probably could have gotten Kittle.
That's and there goes Jeudy right after. Tough.
No, this isn't a snake draft, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's going back to the true. Last round. Right.
Yeah, I can't keep track of other people's teams. way too complicated.
You're asking a bit much from that.
Can I order the Juju Smith code red yet? I guess screw it. I actually hate this pick. Man, hold on. I'm going to look at the running backs real quick.
You're not on the clock or anything, so I wouldn't worry about it.
I think I'm going to take. Oh, God. Yeah, no. Should I take Rashad Bateman or J.K. Dobbins? My Ravens fix, folks.
We worried about Dobbins with the recent news?
No, but I mean, yes, slightly.
We're robust over here.
I got Dobbins in the sixth today, man. You're getting a discount. It's pretty nice.
We're robust over here.
He went 50th here.
I'd go Dobbins in the sixth. I'm not sure, especially with Pat, who you drafted. Actually, is that your first running back?
No. Oh, God, no.
He's got Cam Akers.
Little guy named Cam Akers.
The Cam Akers debacle of 22.
Crane said I was fired. Yeah. For taking.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Pat. this bit really to go against you like that. It's a tough scene.
It is tough, but it's fine.
That's honestly probably the most upset I've ever seen Corain is when Pat Daugherty took Cam Akers today.
We're a nation of laws and justice. I mean, it's fine.
Round 5 so far. Justin Herbert, J.K. Dobbins, Brandon Cooks, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, David Montgomery, Kyler Murray. So 4 quarterbacks in the first 7 picks of this round so far here in round 5.
Yeah, I was waiting for one of the elite quarterbacks to make it back to me. I will not be, though. I wouldn't group Jalen Hurts quite in the same tier if I had to get very specific about it.
Do I have to take a quarterback this round?
Never. No.
Darnell Mooney, and now, Kyle, you're on the clock. What are you doing?
I don't want to take DK Metcalf because I have to write up the Seattle offense for tomorrow, which will probably be today or days ago by the time you're listening to this. And it's going to be a bad team. It's going to be a truly atrocious team. I think the best out for this team is literally getting Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that would be such a massive win for the team. And it's been bandied about that like really there are no suitors left for Jimmy Garoppolo's services. So it's not going to cost you anything. He will get cut almost certainly if he is not traded for, because he's $24 million that can basically all be shed to the San Francisco 49ers roster or their cap. So if you can just get rid of $24 million for a backup quarterback, you're probably going to do that. And at that point, it's just who signs. And it's like a 50-50 shot. So I actually think that's like making – that's like the best way I can be optimistic about a truly dreadful team.
Kyle, I hate to do this, but I got to ask you once more. Probably not for the last time. Can you scroll down again so that we can see the – oh, look at that. That's
Kyle, for the love of God, would you scroll down?
Antonio Gibson, pick 61. We're coming back to our Daily Rojo and Kyle again. What are we thinking, Daily Rojo, with his next pick?
So I took Rashad Bateman, who Rota Pat kindly did not take, my wide receiver too. One of the reasons I didn't speak up and say Bateman is because I was praying he would come back to me.
Yeah, now you're colluding against your – I'm not really your boss, but I was saying you're colluding against your you. Boss.
Yeah. So
otherwise known as drafting against you.
It's called competing as you
were. Yeah. Yes. I'm going to contact Underdog Support and be like, 11 other players colluded against me by taking players I wanted.
You know, back in the day, you wouldn't do that kind of thing.
Then I took Amon-Ra, which I feel good about. That's my second Lion. I got DeAndre Swift earlier. So that's kind of nice, a little stack of sorts. And
anytime you can
I also,
stack up the Jared Goff offense.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
Simply put, you must.
And I also think he's a mini tier break. I don't like going to Amari Cooper as much.
Yep. I was hoping you wouldn't take him. Right, I knew you would, though. I was thinking it would be – if anyone else was ahead of me, I felt decent about having a 50-50 shot at getting him on rocks. I do think, like, once you get to Amari Cooper – I know what Amari Cooper is, right? He's good, but I really don't think we're getting this massive season. Like, we're not drawing dead to get a really big season from Amon Ra because we saw it last year, and I get his competition was worse for targets. But, like, we might not see Jameson Williams for a while. Like, DJ Chark – I mean, the only types of players who fit the style of Jared Goff is just guys who have 8 odds below 10. That should be Amon Ra. So – I knew you'd take him. I was hoping you wouldn't, but I didn't feel great.
Here, I got a so first off, Tyler Lockett is the wide receiver of 40. Like, what are you guys drinking over here? Like, what is, have you all been lead poisoned? Like, I'm not really sure what is going on. Some of these ADP. And the question now,
we don't even know what direction you mean that in, though. Are we taking him too high or too low?
The question here is
too low.
I've got Justin Jefferson and AJ Brown. I have George Kittle. Do I need to force a Trey Lance stack in? His ADP is 80. This is pick 71.
I mean,
can I try to wait on Kirk Cousins? I guess Hunter the King already has a quarterback.
See, this is the thing, right?
I'd be laughed out of the room if I took Kirk Cousins at 74, though, right?
Yeah, you would be. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to take Trey Lance.
I like that. I think you could probably wait. You could have waited for Trey Lance to make it again, like that loop around. Yeah, but you know, it's not.
I would 100% taking Trey Lance. You never would have.
Yeah, love it, Pat.
No.
He meant between Hunter the King.
I didn't mean to make it all the way back for like two more rounds. I meant two more picks because Pat picked second, which is what you know. He
and the other guy does have a quarterback. Yeah.
And that's what Pat noted too, that he knew the other guy had a quarterback. So I think that little level of strategy would have been useful here, but it's, you know, it's pretty much.
Well, you know, that hasn't happened earlier in the draft. So
I know.
Now, you can
now in fairness, in fairness, in season ball, in season long leagues, it's not, at which Pat plays, it's not common to look at your other opponent's rosters.
No. You know, so I'm back on the clock. Does Miles Sanders and AJ Brown even count as a stack or no?
I mean, sure. Yeah.
Depending on the offense.
But can I take
positive correlation between those two players? I'm sure.
Will you laugh when I take Michael Thomas here, though? His last healthy season. I don't know. He just set the single season receptions record.
I'm fine with that. I mean, in contests where you want to have like true super teams, like you said, getting a player who literally set the single season receptions record was like one of the best age adjusted players ever up until he got hurt. I don't mind betting on that guy.
The only reason I wouldn't take him there is because he falls like, you know, late enough in other drafts. I'm doing a bunch of these. So I'm seeing Michael Thomas in like the late seventh, eighth. So that's kind of been my new price for him. But I was taking him some in the early seventh before I saw that slip. So I don't mind the pick.
So what round are we in? This is the 14th, I think.
Seven, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm reading the screen correctly.
No, it's the seventh, Matt. You're correct.
So after you took Michael Thomas, we saw Alan Lazard, Dalton Schultz, Elijah Moore, Miles Sanders.
No, there are real human beings taking Alan Lazard over Tyler Lockett. Like, this is a thing that's happening in fantasy football this year, huh? Like, actually a thing that's happening.
Not on this show, as far as I know. I don't know about Crane's status with this. Certainly not me. I really haven't been taking any Alan Lazard.
I got to ask a question about a pick last round. That was Russell Gage at 66. Is that a right around where his ADP has been? And do we think that's more of a best ball phenomenon than a season-long one? Or do we think in our drafts later this summer, we're going to see Russell Gage going that early as well?
Unless the news changes, which I mean, it will, that literally is how news works. But if you did a season-long draft right now with your buddies from work or whatever, I do not think he would go this early. I think it's people... Yeah. Correctly, and then maybe overcorrecting for the idea that we could have Chris Godwin out to like November or something. We'd also get him for week one. I think it's very unlikely, but it hasn't been ruled out yet. We could also literally not get him until like week 12 or something. So with that in mind, like, you do have to think there is a lot of like theoretical upside for a player who's like actually surprised me. I really wasn't in on Russell Gage at any point in his career, and he very much exceeded my expectations last year in a pretty like garbage situation. So I get why people are taking him at his current price, though. I feel like I'm not in on that as much.
Yeah, the current price, is it sucked all the value out, I think. Yeah. It was totally fine before. I mean, I don't have that cheap Russell Gage that some other people do, and kudos to you if you got him there. But in the sixth round, it's just a big no thank you for me. Like, so much of this is all just...
It's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
It's a classic that ain't it, Chief moment.
Yeah. 15, 16, and 17 are what's going to decide the money here. So 3/4 of the contest, you're going to have Chris Godwin taking his role back. I don't love it.
So you two, Daily Rojo and Kyle, I don't think I'm ever going to call you Corain anymore. I'm just going to call you Daily Rojo. Took Treylon Burks and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. We have more to come. We are in round 8. First, we're going to take a very quick break.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Just a reminder, if you don't have the NBC Sports Predictor app powered by PointsBet, go download it now. The contests are free and easy to play, and you have a shot to win thousands by predicting what will happen in Major League Baseball, on the PGA Tour, and the NASCAR circuit. We also have a special contest on Tuesdays and Thursdays called Battle of the Bets, where you can agree or disagree with our experts for a shot to collect some cash. Meanwhile, the Fantasy Football Expo, presented by NBC Sports Edge, is coming to Canton, Ohio, August 12th through 14th. Join some of the top experts in the country, including some of the very human beings I'm with right now, Pat Daugherty, Pat Corain, Denny Carter, Lawrence Jackson, and Kyle Dvorak, at the only true Fantasy Football Expo in the country. Tickets are available at the Fantasy Football Expo.com. The FantasyFootballExpo.com. Use promo code NBCPass at checkout to save $20. And finally, prep for your draft with the latest player rankings, projections, and more in the NBC Sports Edge Fantasy Football Draft Guide. Plus, it is powered by RotoWorld, the premier source for player news and fantasy information. Take advantage of our preseason special and get the draft guide for $5 when you use promo code DRAFTGUIDE at checkout on NBCSportsEdge.com/draftguide. Speaking of drafting, we are back to it. Round 8 has closed out. Pat, in a shocking, shocking turn of events, after mentioning Tyler Lockett 9 times, you drafted him.
So when do I get canceled for taking a second quarterback is what I need to know.
I feel like you're pretty much eligible to take a second quarterback at any time.
You don't get canceled,
Can I take Kirk Cousins now? I mean, do I take Kirk Cousins to force the stack, or can I take Aaron Rodgers?
Kirk Cousins' ADP right now on the app is just 114, and what are we at pick, like?
100.
I don't know.
96.
96, 97. I would gamble on him making it back to you.
I timed out into him, so.
Well, that happens.
Nevertheless, I actually don't hate that, though. I think we're getting an historic season from Justin Jefferson this year, and I might as well be around for the stack ride and my BB3 winning team.
Hey, you know what, Pat? I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Pat. The last time you did this, I think you had like zero stacked players. You ended up with like
no, actually, Ryan. We had some really bad stacks is what happened. We had stacks. I think they were like Jared Goff and like, yeah, Matt Ryan, though. Gotta get the Paris Campbell stack.
This round so far, after you took Lockett, it went Sky Moore to close out round 8, and we started round 9 with Chase Claypool, Kirk Cousins, TJ Hockenson, Rashad Penny, Devin Singletary, Damian Harris. And we are once again a couple picks away from you, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, I know who's going after me in terms of who's picking. So, like, looking at, like I'm not worried about Robert Woods not making it back to me with Pat behind me if I wanted it, but I don't. I would be worried about having Garrett Wilson taken or Rondo Moore's a little early, but players like that, the very typical Rotovizian breakout guys, you know, I'm taking Garrett Wilson here because I really would be shocked if he makes it past this team called Daily Rojo twice.
Is that who you wanted there, Daily?
I don't think I would have taken him right there, but I would have taken him. He would not have gotten back to Kyle.
Shocker.
And you took Kenneth Walker, who is listed as Ken in this database. Are we calling him Ken now?
Yeah, that's been something that's really been tripping me up all summer. I think it's one of the underrated talking points that do we call him Ken now? I kind of like Ken better, maybe.
Yeah. And we've dropped the third. I don't know. There's a lot going on here that for us to process at this point. Any comments from you, Pat?
I wonder. Bob Woods was my one comment.
He just went 108.
I wanted Bob Woods. That's what I wanted. How
you wanted Robert Woods? Are you the first person to ever say that?
I've been talking myself into that. How soon do I get canceled for taking a second tight end, folks?
When was your first tight end?
Yeah, Kittle? He's got Kittle at 47.
Mr. Georgie Kittle.
I'd push it pretty far. I mean, you're fine here, but like, I'd be comfortable going deeper.
Kind of wanted Zach Ertz. I'm not going to lie.
Well, he's still there.
He's still there. Still
congrats.
He's gone. He's not gone. Yeah.
No, I'm saying I want approval, though. I'm seeking approval. My father's love is what I'm seeking.
Kyle, this was Brand a pick. Custom. I just took Rashad White where I'm like, he's not getting past you. So,
yeah.
I was actually going to maybe take Rashad White, by the way.
Well, you're not now. No, I think you're fine. I mean, this is probably on the early side to take a second tight end with George Kittle, but I've done that, particularly if it's like a guy I really like.
I'm not even heard about George Kittle. He occasionally gets injured.
He does occasionally get injured.
He does that, but I think when you take him this early, you're just betting on that not happening. More than like 2 or 3 games. You can probably survive something like that, but your bet is mostly that he stays healthy enough. Like you're not going to like – if you get 9 games of your second tight end in the lineup, it almost certainly means something went very wrong.
Yeah, that's actually good. It means you're not winning the BBM3 whatever this thing is called.
But, I mean, he could miss a big chunk of the first 14 weeks, and you have a tight end that helps you advance, and you're one of the few George Kittle teams to make the playoffs at all. I think, you know, there's something to be said for that, like to get a little bit off the board occasionally with your build, especially if you're like, look, I really like this tight end here. Like, I like Dallas Goedert a lot. I took him today with, I think, a Pitts team, something like that.
He went, by the way. Zach Ertz, he already went. So,
yeah, he has gone.
I feel like the average age of the player Pat Daugherty is named is like 36.
That's weird. I typically am like Mr. Only draft young players. I guess in the best ball, I'm getting caught in the best ball headline. Except for my team, I mean, my quarterback's Trey Lance.
I think ever since you mentioned lead poisoning, I don't think you've taken anyone under the age of like 34 since then, Pat.
Well, you know what I'm taking? I'm going to rectify that with this pick because I'm going one of the most canceled players in all of football, Christian Watson.
What drew you to Watson there?
Real quick. Oh, man. Hell yeah. We're getting Isaiah Spiller here on the turnaround.
I like that.
Christian Watson, I mean, just like I approach best ball like very boomery. I just think upside. And we've gone through like the kind of the faulty notion that like there's no such thing as a rookie that has to get targets, quote unquote, especially with Aaron Rodgers. But if he kind of has to get targets, kind of really good real life draft capital. I did always like the prospect profile. I mean, the boom bust prospect profile, but what are we, round 10? I'm not seeing a ton of upside left at wide receiver. And there's stratospheric upside of Christian Watson. There's, of course, like he averages 2.2 points per game downside, but I don't mind gambling on the stratospheric upside of Mr. Christian Watson.
And the week 17 bring back element goes on set.
I
think it's like not the most common take to be in on Christian Watson among like sharp drafters.
I've heard a single person. I haven't heard sharp or unsharp who are in on him. He's not a boomer or a zoomer player.
But like that team, like the guys who are competing with him for targets. Let me queue up real quick. The guys who are competing with him for targets are like, they're just nobodies. They're true nobodies. Like, oh, like what could Sammy Watkins do on this offense? I don't know. Probably what he did on the Chiefs was have like one good game a year or do nothing like you do with the Ravens. Alan Lazard has been a nobody like his whole career. I want to bet on guys who have a chance to be more than that on great offenses.
Sammy Watkins has never had a good quarterback. I mean, he's finally got one.
Lazard, 75th in this draft.
I think people in real life are going to will be crying real life tears that they drafted Alan Lazard in a round that was one number and not two. Like, it's going to be pain. Alan Lazard is a not good tight end. Please stop drafting him as if he is the Packers' number one wide receiver.
Do either of you, Corrine, you're laughing. Kyle, do either of you push back against that notion at all?
No. Of course I don't.
So why is it happening?
I think it's like just like this like linear A to point B thing that happens. Like someone's got to get targets. I guess it's the guy who's been Aaron Rodgers' friend the longest. But like there isn't, like we think about the guys who like have curried Aaron Rodgers' favor and have gotten a lot of targets on the team. They're not like terrible players. Like, oh man, Devontae Adams must have earned Aaron Rodgers' trust. He's also incredibly good. Maybe that's how we earn Aaron Rodgers. Like, Jordy Nelson, like, I don't know how this guy turned out to be good. It must be the Aaron Rodgers connection. Also, he's great. Like, the good players, even if there's a little bit of a weird thing that happens with Aaron Rodgers' players, it's like, oh, the fourth wide receiver turns out to get cut. Oh, he wasn't going to be anything anyways. The good players are still good. It's maybe a little weirder than other teams, but like, I'm still trying to bet on players who can be good.
Brain, you just took Jameson Williams, pick 134.
Which I kind of hate, to be honest. But
Ben Raven tell us that he's not even going to play?
Yeah. It's
that's not good when you have a player that's not playing. But
no.
It's unique.
You normally want players who play. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even I know that.
So the thought is, if you can get Jameson Williams to the playoffs, then you could really be in great shape because he's got this spike week profile, incredibly fast. Obviously, we're all excited about the talent. But the tricky part is doing that because he's not going to play for you for half the year. I also took Treylon Burks, who probably isn't going to get a snap for the first half of the season as he struggles with asthma on the sidelines. So I only, but I still have four wide receivers, Adams, Bateman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Tony. So I felt like maybe I could get away with it. It's my third Lion. I had Justin Fields. The Lions and the Bears play each other in week 17, so I'm setting up a little thing around that game. Maybe Amon-Ra feasts early on in the season, and then Jameson Williams gives him those sweet, sweet spike weeks in the playoffs.
Corrine, I have noticed that after taking Devontae Adams, and this doesn't surprise me, your next receivers are second-year receiver, rookie, which is, I like it.
Can I ask you guys a quick question before I make my pick? Anytime you can complete the Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson stack, you have to do it, right? Yes?
No.
Yes? Nope. No, don't do that. Genuinely bad.
Well, I did.
Oh, you what?
Oh, no.
You know what's funny? I was drafting on, unsurprising, I was drafting on DraftKings. You fit in right there, RotoPat. You'd love it there. And I saw a lot of this. Is this like something that's becoming in vogue again?
You know what the line of thinking is, of course, right?
Yeah, of course I know what the line of thinking is. And I think you can even take it another level deeper in best ball where you're like, well, what if Cam Akers goes off for 15 weeks, but then his backup, he gets hurt in the 15th week and his backup comes in for two monstrous weeks. But I think like anytime you just say, what about week 17? What about this? Like, you should probably have more than just like what about isms for like things that we know are probably minus EV. You can make an argument that that's plus EV, but and it's probably true that this is a minus EV move to make. You have to move the needle more than what about, right? You have to have a strong reason for that to be the case. And I think it's possible that this team has Cam Akers, blows up for 15 weeks, gets hurt, and then weeks 16 and 17, Daryl Henderson's the guy you need to have. but I think that's kind of a thin thing to bet on.
He could have an independent role. I don't think he will. I mean, Sean McVay's had success with both approaches. You know, the bell cow who he ran into the ground, and Todd Gurley had much more committees the past two or three years, but maybe after, you know, the sad spectacle of 2.3 yards per carry in the playoffs for Cam Akers, he's moving back to that approach, and you can get like 7 to 8 catch weeks from Daryl Henderson like 3 or 4 times a year. But yeah, probably not. And it's a pure insurance play that all the Zoomers are laughing at me for.
My favorite thing about it, and this happened a few times during this draft, Pat, is you asked the question and you basically already drafted the person.
Well, I knew they were going to tell me not to do it, so I waited until there was 5 seconds left on the clock.
I really like great that strategy. Too, Matt. That's should I do this? And there's like 1 second left. It's like, it happened.
Whoops. That wasn't, by the way, sorry, you didn't see, I took from my, the turn. I took Big Bob Tunney. Big Bob Tutty.
Big Bob Tutty. Oh, we should give him that nickname. Bob
Big
Tutty.
Bob Tutty.
That's yeah. Did you just coin that first nickname?
To translate into English, that means Robert Tunyon touchdowns.
Yeah, it means Robert touchdowns. Yeah. Bob Tutty.
Kyle, round 13. Any intrigue for you here? You got any exciting targets?
I wouldn't say exciting, but I will be taking Gerald Everett here. It was always the plan once I didn't get an elite tight end to just go with 3 mediocre guys, hoping one breaks out. And I mean, Everett plays on one of the best passing offenses in the league, and all he's got. I love Donald Parham. I do love Donald Parham, but he's been a very limited role player all of his short career, and is coming off a pretty brutal injury. So I think Gerald Everett, who's actually seen his receiving total increase every year for like 5 consecutive years, not getting super high, but not like plateauing at least, has a chance to be a weekly contributor. I'm not dying for his upside, but I didn't need to shoot for upside, especially having like Albert O already on this team. I needed someone to get me points and who didn't have a week 9 bye because I doubled up on those with my tight ends. So
you have Albert O, huh?
Yeah, I do. Do you have a problem with that?
Pat Crane, Mr. Greg Dulcich does. No, he does.
You like drafting backup tight ends, huh?
I'm too busy almost timing out of my pick to disagree with this.
And DJ Chark, is that a panic situation?
Well, you guys really like Lions, I've noticed.
You guys have a thing for these terrible teams. No, I mean, I had DJ Chark queued up, but I was definitely thinking, like, is there a better pick to make this selection? I do, like, Lions are fine. They certainly clear the threshold of not being atrocious, and they are so incredibly cheap.
Do they, though? Do they really clear that threshold?
I mean, like,
this is one of the 2022 storylines I'm most skeptical about. Is the sharp world's love for the Detroit Lions.
I mean, they have one of the probably 3 to 5 best offensive lines. The receiving room, even if you don't get Jameis Williams, has improved dramatically compared to where it was last year, as well as like the running back room, because they didn't get the full season from someone like Swift, and TJ Hockenson missed the end of the year. And Goff
Paris Campbell was my only plan for this pick, and he just went, by the way.
I mean, if you knock the Lions down, they're going to get up. And if you knock them down, they're going to get up again. And this time they'll bite a kneecap on their way up. I mean, they're motivated.
They were the best or second best team against the spread last year as well. Which I don't know how that really converts to fantasy.
They were like 14-point dogs.
All right, I can't get laughed at for calling them good against the spread when you said they bite kneecaps. All right, they were also 14-point dogs, and they were biting all those kneecaps out there.
Pat Daugherty, we're 2 picks away from you, actually. 1 pick away. Do you have a plan? What's going on?
I have one player in the queue, and it's David Bell.
Oh, that's
Cincinnati Reds manager David Bell.
If he goes, Bell has an ADP of 198.
And I'm just throwing ADP out the window at this point. Because I don't want Corey Davis. I don't want Sammy Watkins. Actually, I kind of want Sammy Watkins.
Now, you will pick again after this pick.
This isn't your last pick.
I actually do want Sammy Watkins. Man, everyone is. I don't want Darrell Williams. My God.
It's crazy that we're in the 19th round in the 14th round, I will say.
Is there any case for George Pickens, by the way?
Yeah.
Do you have
what is it?
Prospect, second round, and he should play, in 3 wide receiver sets pretty easily.
That old Sammy.
Asked you for the case for George Pickens. All right. I'm not
take Sammy
take
Watkins. Now, what would you say, Drew, to Sammy Watkins there, Pat?
Well, I think he's as healthy as he's been in several years, and the team is down a little bad in the targets department. I don't know if you've heard got to complete the Christian Watson and Big Bob Tutty stack, even though I don't have the quarterback. That's why I'm going to take Jordan Love with my final selection.
And once again, but it's without all saying,
bring backs for your week 17. Yeah,
bring backs, exactly. A thing that almost doesn't need said because Pat knows it. So, like, he has a tattoo of Minnesota versus Green Bay somewhere on his, like, below his eye. I think it's small, but you can see it if he gets close to the camera.
Man, there's
he knows that it's a stack. It's a week 17 about. Stack.
I'm just going to time out into David Bell and be frankly totally okay with that.
We've really reached the point where Pat's just checked out. He's like, you know what, guys? I'm on auto draft. I actually am on autopilot.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm on Q autopilot. It's a little different, folks.
We are in round 15. How many more rounds do we have left?
Including 15, this will be 15 16, 17, 4.
Four.
My God.
As you guys look at your rosters now at this point, any glaring positional issues? Anything we really need to address?
I still only have one quarterback, but there are plenty, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 or so starting quarterbacks, maybe 7 starting quarterbacks, like full season probably starters. And taking Russell Wilson plus Albert O plus Cortland Sutton, I made a pretty strong bet that Russell Wilson's going to be cracking my lineup 14 times in this season, 13. So I am kind of fine punting the second one, as long as it's someone that like will be a full season starter.
What are your ideal position numbers? What, I mean, what do you try to come out of it with? X quarterback, X running back, X receiver, X tight end?
It really depends when you take your first running back, I think. If you go 3 running backs early, I'll do like 2, 4, 10, 2. And then if I go 1 running back early, I usually go 5 running backs, maybe 6, depending on how long I wait. If I go 0 running back, I usually do 6, maybe 7. Wow. And then I'll go 3 quarterbacks. Like here, I will go 3 quarterbacks eventually.
You will go 3 quarterbacks?
Yeah, because there's well, maybe I shouldn't have told Kyle that.
I already told you I need another quarterback, though. It wasn't the intentional sniping of you. Although I didn't realize that we had just had a run of 4 starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
Matt Ryan, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, and Jared Goff, which was me, to stack him with DJ Chark. I did not realize they all went. So, I mean, that wouldn't have changed my decision.
What's the absolute limit to the amount of tight ends you can take?
I can't imagine taking more than 3.
Do you ever take?
But he's saying how many will the system allow you to take?
Oh,
I if you went like total punt and you structured your team pretty well, Tannehill didn't make it back. then I think you could get away with. Man, that was a big mistake. I should have taken Tannehill instead of Hooper. I already had the stack with Tannehill. That's just dumb. Just dumb, guys.
Sorry,
I'll grab Wandale Robinson and get. I'm loading up on my Giants stack.
So why were you looking for a quarterback? Do you still only have 1?
No, I have 2, but it's Fields and Daniel Jones. So I feel like I'd rather make that a 3 quarterback build. I think you probably get away with it.
I think with Lance and Cousins, I probably need to be a 3 quarterback build. Am I wrong? Am I right?
No, I mean, especially having Justin Jefferson, you've already made a strong bet on that offense. At least, especially taking Justin Jefferson at the 2, there are other good options there. So you've clearly put some sort of flag in the ground that, like you said, Justin Jefferson, like blow up season incoming.
2,500 yards.
Yeah. 2,500 yards doesn't happen with at least 2,600 yards from Kirk Cousins. Like there's no way those two things don't happen.
So Kyle, you took KJ Hamler in round 16 after Kareem took Wandale Robinson. I mean, you guys are talking about quarterbacks. We just saw Matt Ryan, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Jared Goff, and Ryan Tannehill go. I mean, who could be left?
Davis Mills, the Baker Mayfield's still out there. I don't hate the very cheap Baker Mayfield stack. He's like perfectly fine, and he has clearly top 2 receivers. Like, I really can't imagine a 3rd receiver. Like, Terrace Marshall was so just like didn't even appear in the box scores last year. That it makes me very bearish on his upcoming season. Like Ian Thomas is going to play all the snaps and see like 9 targets. So they have like 3 viable pass catchers on the team. I don't hate the Robbie might have already gone. I'd have to look, but I don't hate the backdoor Baker. And then Carson Wentz.
John Watson's available as well, which is obviously a gigantic gamble. And it's probably like a team that doesn't need the quarterback. It would benefit the most because he's obviously going to face a suspension of some kind.
Yep.
I want Julio Jones. He was one of my 2 primary plans here at pick 191.
He's gone 2 picks before you, Pat. Oof. So your backup plan is still available until Warren Zevon.
Warren Zevon will be taking him to haunt me from beyond the grave.
And is this is this a guy who is legitimately has an ADP, the guy that you're taking right now, or is it?
He does. He's well past his ADP. Don't tell Warren. I mean, I'm just finally.
And it wasn't
I hate taking rookie Steelers receivers who aren't first rounders because they're just not going to feature them. But I'm taking George Pickens' upside at this point, but he will does not play this year. So it's actually a pretty terrible pick.
And then I'll have a breakout
game. Who do you think the third receiver is then?
Not the rookie is always Mike Tomlin's answer. So that's
all. The other option is also a rookie in Calvin Austin.
Really?
They're thin at non-rookie receiver three.
It's going to be like Gunnar Olszewski or something. Isn't he on the team? I mean, it's going to be someone just not good.
He fits the Ryan Switzer mold.
Isn't Anthony Miller on the Steelers?
I think you're right.
I mean, Anthony Miller can talk his way off any roster, so I wouldn't be worried about him.
Oh, I'm about to time out, but I'm going to time out into someone I kind of want, even though I don't know if he's going to play at all either this year, either John Mechie.
Pat, I need to hear you pronounce Gunnar Olszewski's name one more time. How did that kind of came out?
Gunnar Olszewski.
Kyle, one last time.
You turn into James Conner when you say that name. No, not James Conner. Sean Connery. Football has broken my brain. I said James Conner.
Please, God. Yeah, watch a movie.
You turn into John Connor when you say that name. John Mechie, Rotopat.
Hey. John Daigle just commented in our chat. Anytime you can take Kenny Pickett's wide receiver three, you got to do it. Thanks, John. I hate you. I hate you. Yeah, I didn't even take his wide receiver three, John. If I wanted his wide receiver three, I would have taken Anthony Miller.
Anthony Miller or Miles Boykin are the or Cody White.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Miles Boykin. That's a cut.
Or just Julio Jones will be the wide receiver three.
Oh, so here's a wrinkle. I don't know if, Pat, you would remember on Underdog, since we were talking about tight ends, positional allocation, and I see this. Taysom Hill is listed as a tight end, and I find that to be very fun. I don't know. I think it's really interesting, the game theory aspects that go into taking Taysom Hill, because you're in all likelihood probably getting zeros or like 2-point performances for most of the year. But like one out of every like 500 seasons in the simulation that is life, we get like three quarterback games at tight end, and you like, if especially if those happen in the playoffs, you cannot win without them. Right. I imagine it'd be so incredibly difficult. Like you look at the one year, two years ago, Taysom Hill was listed as a tight end on FanDuel, and he's like 100% in cash games and 90% in like tournaments. And I'm thinking like he should be 98% in tournaments, and that would be the same situation here, though you don't have the foresight to know that it's going to happen, obviously.
Before this draft, you had 100% exposure to Taysom Hill this summer. This is the one time
I only recently got Taysom Hill, actually. I wasn't into it until recently.
I feel like
everyone goes through a Taysom phase. Even Denny did.
This is a level 100 conversation of the floors up that we need to go to the best ball. Like let's just go. Let's talk about the stacking first before we introduce them to Taysom.
It's not the only league that he'll be like this too. I think it's got Fishbowl. He was a tight end. I've seen some other formats that never reduced his eligibility to quarterback, and it's important to know.
I just noticed that other than Justin Jefferson, I got the all like stereotypical, like, well, you might want to own them in best ball receiver core. Right? AJ Brown, Michael Thomas, Tyler Lockett, Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins, David Bell, George Pickens, and John Mechie. Three rookies, one of whom like might not even be healthy, one of whom might be catching passes from Jacoby Brissett, one who is catching passes from Kenny Pickett. You gotta love it.
Serious run on Falcons. Brian Edwards and Marcus Mariota going in the last three picks. This is
some guy took Marcus Mariota.
What an idiot!
Is he stacked with anyone on your team?
You better believe it. You think I've taken unstacked Marcus Mariota? Got him stacked.
You got Pitts, right?
Oh yeah.
I was waiting for you to say, like, I've got Tyler Algier, Brian Edwards. Look, this is my ninth Olamide Zaccheaus team. You say
he's got Olamide Zaccheaus.
No, I got completely locked out of elite quarterback, which is a big bummer for me. But
so we're coming up on Pat Doherty's final pick, the all-important second-to-last pick of the draft. Pat, how many players you have queued up?
Should I take Logan Thomas, who there's only one position that Carson Wentz targets? Or should I take a total flyer and Hassan Haskins and bet against Derrick Henry's joints? What should I do?
Well, you could also take Kyren Williams and lock up the Rams backfield.
Yeah, that's true. I could take Sonny Michel and lock up the once and future and past Rams backfields.
That's true.
Could take Velus Jones and just trigger every lib alive.
I just took Byron Pringle, so I'll survive.
Probably taking Logan Thomas. I don't know.
That's fine. He goes super late for a tight end when he's healthy.
He plays
100% of snaps and sees like wide receiver two volume. He doesn't do a ton with it. He's not particularly efficient, but like I'm fine with Logan Thomas.
He's going to get so many targets, but I don't really need another tight end at all. I kind of do need another running back.
Who do you have? You have Kittle, and how many running backs do you have?
I only have four running backs, and my RB2 is J.K. Dobbins, who might not play, and Isaiah Spiller and Daryl Henderson.
All right, Rex Burkhead's still got to be out there, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Tell me which running back to take.
Rivers says Rex Burkhead, in his view, could have 55% of the touches to start the season. So,
dude, they extended him like not in the middle, but before last year even ended. It was probably right after the Chargers game when he went for 150. They gave him an extension after that, and all of their running backs are not like good. It's him. It's like, I think like Dari Kumbawale's on that roster. Yes. Damian Pierce is not, I don't think, a particularly exciting player. He's the most exciting of them, but that's not saying a lot.
It took Hassan Haskins, by the way.
I really do actually buy what Rivers is saying. Like Rex Burkhead is there. He knows the system.
I just gave you from one of our fellow NBC Eds sports.
I don't think
the most dialed into the Texans of anyone on the planet.
I do. I'm skeptical Rex Burkhead will even make the team.
I mean,
I think you're also secretly worried about collusion, Pat. Ever since we referenced that, you haven't been taking any of the tips that Corrine or Kyle have sent your way. Okay, so we made it to the end, guys. Can you guys still access your rosters? And if so, I think we should quickly talk through the teams before we go.
Boy, my team is really bad.
Let's look at what we did.
Let's do it.
Yeah, one sec. I always forget how to access my teams. Oh, which one did I do most recently? I didn't name
Kyle
them. I got it here.
Okay, right. Kyle's ready.
And view full draft.
I draft from the phone like, you know, a true degenerate.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see. Actually, I'll just pull up the whole grid and we can scroll through. I started.
That's beautiful.
Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Cortland Sutton, Gabe Davis. Kept going receivers, stacked with Russell Wilson, more receivers. And
we want to hear the names.
Every single one of them. Gabe Davis, DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, MVS, Garrett Wilson. I like my team. I know both of you guys said you didn't like them. And that's probably because I was getting all the good picks at the expense of you guys, I assume. Because I feel good about my team. Like, it's not a stone cold killer, but drafting on stream doesn't feel easy. So, you know, then following up with James Cook, getting three tight ends in a row, Freiermuth, Albert O, Gerald Everett. Ending with a classic stack. Everyone knows this stack. Oh, DJ Chark plus Jared Goff in the next pick. KJ Hamler adding to the Denver stuff. Raheem Mostert. And
you didn't get Khalif Raymond for Jared Goff, by the way. But
well, you're thinking of Josh Reynolds. That's really who's kind of a breakout star on that team.
Yeah. So Kyle feels great.
I like my team. I don't know, great. I feel good about completing a draft successfully, not making any bad picks, getting correlation. I have the MVS plus my Broncos players. So if that game goes off, hopefully from my side of the game, not the Chiefs side, I have a shot if I make it that far, obviously.
Sounds like Kyle thinks he's winning $10 million is what he thinks.
I'd bet on myself winning at least two.
Yeah. 10 would be really impressive since
I win all of the places.
Corrine, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. So Kyle, as he noted, got a really nice stack with Jared Goff and DJ Chark, which wasn't ideal since I had DeAndre Swift, Jameson Williams, and Amon-Ra St. Brown when he made that selection.
Oh my God, I didn't realize how badly I bit you on that. Oh my God.
Yeah, you blew up the whole team.
Wow.
Which actually wasn't that big a deal because Justin Fields fell five picks past ADP. It did not have a quarterback at the time. So I was like, figured, okay, maybe I'll play this from the Bears side. And I ended up getting Khalil Herbert and Byron Pringle to go with Bears. So those Lions guys, week 17 bringbacks. You can't snipe me, Kyle. I've got backup plans. But anyway, the team in review: Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, Marcus Mariota. Then I went at running back: DeAndre Swift, Alvin Kamara, Ken Walker. Loving the discount on him. Pick 106 here. Rashad White. And Khalil Herbert, and then at wide receiver, Devontae Adams, Rashad Bateman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kadarius Toney, Treylon Burks, Jameson Williams, Wandale Robinson, Byron Pringle, tight end, Kyle Pitts, and Austin Hooper. So I have with Daniel Jones, I've got a double stack with Wandale Robinson and Kadarius Toney, no bring back. And then I have Marcus Mariota single stacked with Kyle Pitts, and I do not have do not have a Cardinal. So overall, I'm not loving the correlation, but I made a big bet that the Bears-Lions game is the game you need in week 17. So I've got three Lions and three Bears.
Over under 59 and a half. I can see it now.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Lions and Bears. Don't, you don't need to tell me. I'm the one who drafted them, and every time I was like, this doesn't feel good.
Is it weird that I'd rather have Velus Jones than Byron Pringle? I think I would unironically rather have Velus Jones than Byron Pringle.
So for me there, like, you know, I took Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, and Wandale Robinson. So legit worried about, like, how much early season production I have at wide receiver. So breaking ties to Pringle is, like, super boring, but.
That line of thinking does make sense.
Speaking of legit worries about early season production at wide receiver, Pat Doherty, you want to tell us about your roster?
My roster is Trey Lance and Kirk Cousins at quarterback, Cameron Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Isaiah Spiller, Daryl Henderson, and Hassan Haskins at running back. Not a good running back group. Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Mike Thomas, Tyler Lockett, Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins, David Bell, George Pickens, and John Metchie at receiver. George Kittle and Robert Tonyan. Frankly, not a team. Like, just unironically, don't like the team. But when I look at the team, the three things I immediately see are, I mean, I either need a big-time, like, Rams connection for Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson. I need, like, Rams-type action. Or I need Trey Lance to blow up. I really need J.K. Dobbins to be healthy early in the season. That's, like, a just hugely critical thing for the squad. And I really need my top four. I just need a lot. I need my top four receivers to live up to their potential, or at least be spiked weak guys. Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Michael Thomas, and Tyler Lockett. Because my bottom five receivers, it's just like a really, really bad grab bag, like just a really unappealing grab bag. So like I need Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, Michael Thomas, and Tyler Lockett to pull their weight in spiked weeks. Because I just don't have the depth at receiver, despite using 9 picks on receivers.
Yeah. At the spot you took Kirk Cousins, given the J.K. Dobbins uncertainty for week one, and given eventually how you would allocate the rest of your roster, that's why you took Kirk Cousins, three guys almost immediately after that who will give you probably week one production: Rashad Penny, Devin Singletary, and Damian Harris. I would have gone one of those guys over Kirk Cousins and try and bet on Cousins getting back to you at your next pick, which is like, it's not for a while. So it's a thin bet to make if that's the win condition of your team. But like, Kirk Cousins, I don't think adds so much to this team that you had to have him here. Having a running back who gets some points week one might actually be a problem for you.
I think Dobbins will be held. I frankly do think that. I mean, it's 12 months. It would have been 12 months since he was injured. That would be very, very, very unusual in this day and age. I mean, it'd have to be like straight up major setback territory. And there hasn't been any reports of a setback. And there was Ian Rappaport's report that he was questionable, which we, of course, and got immediate refuting of from the player himself. Yeah. It's kind of ultimately, I don't understand why J.K. Dobbins wouldn't be ready for week one, unless there's been a major setback we have not heard about. And from the strident tone of J.K. Dobbins, it doesn't sound like there was some setback we didn't know about. Because if there's, and the Ravens are always kind of
there wasn't. Even in the initial report.
That's why
report.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, 12 months, you're back from an ACL at the age of 24. Just like straight up, you are.
Yeah, so there was more than just an ACL tear.
I know.
It was some sort of lateral damage. I don't remember. It was like other weird medical terms that I certainly not qualified. Yeah.
But, was it the LCL? I don't know. Yeah, there were other.
I think it was, involved. It was an ACL plus.
It was deluxe.
Yeah, I got the ACL plus. Yeah, I got the ACL plus when it came out, but it's not as good as you think.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine then. I mean, Isaiah Spiller be the Justin Jackson, the Larry Roundtree we never had last year, who convert two goal line carries in week one, and we're on our way.
Quickly going back to Kirk Cousins, Kyle, your tone was, or you know, basically what you said was, you didn't have to have Kirk Cousins there, but I think we all saw in Pat Doherty's eyes he had to have Kirk Cousins there. Like he was dead set on that happening.
Stacking's all that matters.
It's true. It wasn't like mathematical. You had to have Kirk Cousins in RotoPat's eyes. It was more of a spiritual. You had to have Kirk Cousins.
Well, it's kind of too, like, not loving the way things are going. If one of my gambles is an historic Justin Jefferson season, like, I'm just going to get aboard that train with Kirk Cousins. And because he wasn't making it back to me the next go around. So that was part of the thinking.
Quickly, before we go, lessons learned. Crane and Kyle, you guys do so many of these. I don't even know if you learn anything new when you do a draft like this, but do you have any takeaways from this one? Anything that stands out? Anything you'll be carrying forward with you from this draft?
Well, I do think I made a mistake with my tight end two, I was like, I'll grab Hooper, sets me up for double stack with Tannehill, which, you know, that wouldn't have taken Mariota. But I could have pieced together tight end two in a Kyle Pitts team. And going from Tannehill to Mariota feels a little less exciting. So I'm kind of like basically playing that. I was like, I already have Burks. I probably should have grabbed my stack, let my tight end two be the thing I gambled, not my quarterback selection.
Yeah, don't draft on stream. I feel like if we like if you're at your home league and everyone's just cracking open a cold beer, don't say, hey guys, I'm gonna broadcast this to the internet and try and make good content out of it. Because like obviously I think Crane could have looked at his team and been like, yeah, I know that like this team benefits more from Tannehill and then gambling. Maybe you get Hooper, maybe you don't. But don't draft on stream. No, I think also I'm fine with like you say, you know, Kirk Cousins wasn't gonna make it back to you. He your next pick would have been like behind Kirk Cousins' ADP is more likely than not gone. I'm kind of fine gambling on these things in the hopes of building a team where like all the stacks come together below cost, or at least enough of them come together at below cost. And I'll kind of sink some teams that are kind of jagged, unstacked, or at least not stacked in the ways I want, to in hopes of building like one of every three or four teams isn't necessarily a super team, but I get all the things I want at the prices I want or better than that. I'm kind of fine gambling away a few teams on like maybe this guy falls below ADP, because I think that's what you want, is some teams that are above average, even just based on cost alone.
Makes
how much
sense.
Are you correlating, Kyle? Like, are you, what's the max that you're trying to put together from, you know, the same team and then a bring back for this? For people who don't know, I think it's like, it's almost 500 people in the final
496
week.
496 or 472 or something like that. Yeah, I think for me,
so it's a pretty
probably,
big field.
And I actually don't mind having a team like somewhat heavily stacked, in the sense of like if one game truly does score a lot more than the rest, then it's not really a big deal to get like, oh, well, you know, I had, you know, I don't take much Mecole Hardman, but I had a Chiefs super stack and Mecole Hardman because the game scored 70 some odd points. Got a long touchdown, he gets you 12 points on your team. This is only catch of the game, a 60-yard touchdown or whatever. That player probably still has a decent chance of making your final roster, or making that like week 17 roster. We saw last year, Chess Liam's roster was Tyler Boyd made his team at like 11 points, right? It's not like that's a great score, but it is a tournament that is big enough that you want to correlate, but not big enough that you need like the optimal lineup that you could enter with. You just need a high scoring lineup. So I don't mind stacking a team somewhat heavily if the price is reasonable. I'm not really getting any like Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler teams, but like if I could have gotten like, you know, Mahomes, MVS, Sky Moore, and then like even Jarek at the end, totally fine with that.
Okay.
Pat Doherty, this was your...
Way. Like you said, it depends on cost, right? Do you want to take the three elite tight ends? No. One of those guys is like never making your roster, even though he's expensive and good. But do you want to take three tight ends? Yeah, sure. If you have bad tight ends, take three of them by all means. And for me, that's kind of the same way with stacking. As long as it fits within like some sort of idea of price. Obviously, I am just like completely guessing at what a fair price is for players who are all on the same team. You know, I'm just guessing at what is capping my upside versus boosting my upside. But I think if you can even be directionally accurate in that, you'll probably be successful in the long term.
Pat Doherty, your second ever best ball draft. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but what are your takeaways from this one?
Thankfully, it's a mild exaggeration. Main takeaway is Cam Akers' ADP is like just ludicrous. He's going behind Breece Hall, Ezekiel Elliott. James Conner is going to be one of the biggest heartbreakers of James Conner will not be staying healthy back.
You heard it here first, folks.
We're a 260-pound Leonard Fournette, the RB12. That's also very interesting from the underdog drafting class. So that was the running back ADPs will look significantly different in redraft season, for better or worse. Quite possibly for worse, because this is a smarter group of drafters. But I think we're going to see a really big running back ADP shakeup here over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
All right. Before we get out of here, anything you guys would like to mention on the site, NBC Sports Edge?
Team previews. Nope. I have my, like I said, Seahawks team preview. If you want to see like sort of an analysis of what like a dumpster fire would look like a you know, just garbage, and then you set it all on fire. That's you'll read that if you go ahead and read my Seahawks team preview. Everyone else also has great team previews. I read not just mine, obviously. It'd be kind of crazy since I wrote them, but I read everyone else's as well, and I like them a lot. So mine, but others too.
Got to do the Jets earlier this week, so check out that Jets one, which can probably compete with the Seahawks one for riveting reading. And of course, check out my GM rankings, which are live on NBCSportsEdge.com.
Great. I don't like where Bill Belichick is, don't at Roto Pat.
Bill Belichick and John Schneider are the ones getting the ats about this year.
Anything for you, Crane?
I've been loving the beat writers the podcast that we've been having on this feed.
Crane, you're going to be on the show Monday, by the way. I hadn't formalized that with you, but you want to be on the show? We'll be talking to Mr. Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports Bay Area and Michael Sean Duggar. I'm sorry, Michael.
Dugar
from The Athletic to talk to
you. You got a good guess for that one. Good guess.
We do.
Nice. All right. That's exciting. Check out all of that. And coming up and already on the site. And don't forget to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a minute to rate and review us as well. We'd appreciate that. Want to say thanks to everyone for listening and watching with us on this episode. Pat, Kyle, Karain, thanks to you guys for drafting. See you next week.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.